This is a production of Cornell University.
Looks like we have most everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Hey, you'll take the roll like always, just online. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
Motion to approve.
Anybody? Second?
All right. I'll second.
All right, thank you all. All right, and any abstentions, additions? All right, seeing none, the minutes are approved. Okay, let's go ahead and get into business of the day. Chris, you are up with resolution three, I guess technically amendment one to resolution three, the campus circular. So would you go ahead and explain your amendment, and then we'll vote on adoption of that, and then we can vote on the, or then we can go into debate on the resolution.
Sure. I guess I'll share my screen to give you guys the view of what we're talking about. So nice to see everybody. This is the new business is some old business, which is the Cornell campus circulator system. This was the idea of on-campus TCAT kind of only. We had talked about this before the break, and then most recently in our employee welfare committee, I had explained to them that there's a lot of uncertainty about the uncertainty right now, and I was having a hard time trying to figure out, is this a thing that should be moved forward? You know, should we call it quits? What should we do about this? And I was going to call in a favor since Martha Pollack and I served chicken parm together back at the employee celebration day, but I didn't use that card. But I was able to talk to Joel Molina a little bit to try to give me some understanding of what was going on, and his thoughts about it were pretty comforting, because he said, you know, Chris, the university is still doing business, and, you know, the leadership really needs as much feedback as possible from everybody. And he thought that it was still very appropriate for the EA and the UA to do their jobs and put forward resolutions, even if funding was an issue for some of the projects, because the projects that we've highlighted this year through the EA are priorities for the university still. The time might just be a little bit different than they were. Our constituents still want to hear that planning is happening. TCAT is still going to be a very critical service about bringing campus fully back online. And so Gina also let me know that if we did not vote on resolutions and they were just left on the table, they basically expire. So for that, what I worked through with the Employee Welfare Committee as well, and they passed this update to the resolution in our meeting, was making the change to the abstract here, and my screen might be a little small because I'm on a big monitor, where we sort of are changing the language around the timelines to be more accommodating. So the amendment is really saying on line 7 that we propose that a Cornell campus circulator system should be included in the Cornell University long-term strategic plan post the COVID-19 crisis and related financial issues. Is a general priority and represents what the campus wants and will need in the future. So that change is reflected in the abstract. And then down here in the be it therefore resolved clause, it's the same language on line 65. What I can tell you is that the student assembly passed this the way that it was back before all this started in February. So that was pretty sweet. They had this going, and it is waiting to be sent to the president. The GPSA voted on it yesterday, and they're still getting back to me. And the University Assembly intends on voting on this same version in our next University Assembly meeting. This is not a resolution that is really like the divestment resolution, where everything has to be all exactly the same, because that was a specific criteria for the Board of Trustees for divestment specifically. So I'm offering this amendment to the resolution, which mostly we're saying, hey, we still think that this is a good idea. We recognize that things have changed and the timelines that were a little bit arbitrary to begin with, as well as asking funding to be secured in the face of a $200 million shortfall doesn't seem to be super appropriate. So we'll give you a little bit more room on that. And that is what the resolution and the amendment is about.
Okay, everybody, just to remind everybody, right now we are voting and in debate on Chris's amendment to his resolution. That needs to be voted on and passed before we vote on the resolution in its entirety, or the amendment can be tabled or voted down. So I will entertain any debate, questions, or motions. Brian, go ahead.
So I move that we vote for the amendments as Chris outlined and add them to the amendment.
Brian moves to the adoption of the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor of the adoption of Amendment 1 to Resolution 3, please indicate with the yes or no button in the comments or participant bar, I should say. Okay, I don't have a full count, but it clearly passes by majority. So, all right, Chris, now we are into debate on your resolution as amended. Do you have anything else to say?
I can just say that we also talked to Bridget Brady at the Employee Welfare Committee, and she also plus one the idea that our feedback and our voice, because the changes to the transportation system are going to happen, and that TCAT was really kind of knowing that this resolution was in development. So they have been waiting to really work with Cornell, and it is just something that we're kind of all getting together to say, hey, we know that things are going to change, and being able to provide our feedback, whether you vote yes or no for this resolution, it at least gets it on the record and says, hey, we had ideas. This is a group of people who can be contacted. And as this being something 11 years in the making, it's still, I think, a really good idea to say, hey, we still want this. And I appreciate everybody's feedback on the resolution and my committee's work. So thank you.
All right. Questions, comments, or motions? Brian, go ahead.
So Chris, I just want to say that you did an excellent job on this. I've been following it right along, and I think most of us are appreciative of all the input that you solicited and support you gained. And I am totally in favor of your resolution, and I call the question.
The question has been called. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, seconded by Jessica. So go ahead and vote by indicating yes or no in your in the comments. All right, has everybody voted who wish? Have all voted who wish? Okay, well, looks like on a vote of 25-1, Chris, congratulations. Your amendment or your resolution has passed. Good job, my friend. Thank you for all your hard work.
Sure. And while I got 1 minute, I'd like to recognize the EA leadership team for all that they've done for this COVID situation. I heard a lot of good feedback from the IT community that I represent. And specifically wanted to say thank you to Adam. He does a good job of saying thank you to everybody else, as well as hey, for sure. You guys have been really making sure that we stay connected in the best possible way and let the being that catalyst between the university or the employee assembly and the university administration. So thank you guys from IT for all that.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. And thank you for everything that you do and all of you, seriously. It's been challenging, but everything's working out great thus far. By the way, at the very beginning, and I meant to do this, I wanted to echo what Chris sent over the UA listserv, or the EA listserv, which is a big thank you to Laura Taylor and Jen Michael for their service on the University Assembly CJC, the work of the of that committee and our representatives on there has been exhaustive, and they've done so much to get something that is so important ready in terms of the student code. So I just wanted to echo Chris's great shout out for them. It's well deserved. So thank you both. Silent clapping hands. And I apologize for any kid noise you all are hearing in the background. My kids are being extra loud today. All right. So anyway, resolution 7. Brian, you want to go ahead and present your resolution?
Okay, I gave a pretty long presentation in the last meeting. And we kind of got tabled because of lack of time, I believe. I do want to just speak to what Chris was talking about. This is putting it on the table, and with Joel Molina's message about we should continue business as normal and bring resolutions forward without even if funding is an issue, to continue our work so they know what's on the what there is on their table. So with that said, I guess I'll answer questions if I can, or at least the BPC can answer some of them.
All right, questions, comments, or motions?
I don't have the capability of putting a resolution up on my screen right now because it's on my other computer, but if anybody wants to do that, they're more than welcome.
Anyone?
Is the updated version in box?
7, yes.
It is in the box. It's under meeting materials for May 6th. Let me try to share a link in the chat.
So I got you, Brian, for screen sharing. Thanks, the resolution.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that, Brian. Did you? There was a bunch of noise here in my house that distracted me. Did you have more to present, or were we on to debate questions and motions?
Can you just identify what language was updated in the resolution?
There was none since the last meeting.
Oh, okay.
So, Jessica, did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it goes here, but since in this particular segment, but since I asked a question last time we discussed this, I've been thinking and talking with some people about this, and I think I know this was a lot of work for the BPNC to get to this point. So, and I think at least this gives a recommendation of extra time, and it recognizes one more part of our family structures as they are now. So I just want to let Brian and the BPC know that I like, after thinking about it and talking with people, I like this version. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Can I ask another unrelated question to Adam and the gang? What? How many more meetings do we have before the end of our term?
So that's going to be a topic of discussion. Hopefully, I wanted to bring it up during open discussion. Technically, we have one more meeting in this term.
Okay.
Scheduled. As per the schedule that we approved, at our first meeting of the term.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that. Let's see. Chris.
Looks like Chris raised his hand.
Yeah. Hello. I don't get to talk to anybody but my wife, so I'm going to talk to everybody. but my wife is awesome to talk to, so I have that on the record, and beautiful and funny. I'm in support of this resolution. I would like to say thank you to Josh for expressing his supervisor point of view. I think that in the assemblies, the strength of the assemblies is all of us live a different life as a Cornell employee, and hearing how you think about things is extremely important, and no one should feel bad. Instead, you should really feel good that you say, hey, here's new information that you guys have not thought of before, because the idea of how does this affect supervisors was something that I was like very much on the other side of that to begin with. But I thought through this resolution and read through it and tried to think about like, what are we doing? And really, I think that we're making all these resolutions are just recommendations to the president that kind of say, hey, we collected our info, we asked a lot of people what was going on, and we have these, well-informed work-through ideas about something that you should think about and take a look at. Because of that kind of way I at least think about these resolutions, I would move the question on this resolution.
Okay. I've got another point before we move to a question, if possible.
Is that Craig?
Yes.
All right. Chris, would you...
unmove the question.
Okay. Craig, go ahead.
Thanks. Are you able to scroll down to the bottom of it with the resolved clauses? Because... What I think is being stated here is that with regard to the number of days, I think that we should consider, rather than telling the university what the number of days are, is to ask them to review the current number of days, and that we believe that under current policy that it should be potentially extended. Now, if we tell them 5 days, I think that kind of puts them a little bit in a box, and have them review it from their perspective, but with our recommendation being that we think it should be extended.
All right, Carrie and then Mary. Carrie, go ahead.
Hey, everyone. I like the way Craig is suggesting we frame it. I was sort of looking at that piece too. And one question that I had, I guess, for Brian and the group was whether the 100 miles comes from the peer research. Is that what you have seen in other examples as a pretty standard cutoff? I was just wondering how arbitrary that is and whether it should be phrased more generally in support of greater flexibility for travel given those logistical things. And I also agree again with Craig that it may be better to frame it differently, where we're not asking for that specific thing, but just a review and consideration. I think that's all. That's all I have. but I think that at first I was wondering about the emphasis on the surrogate, but I guess that captures a lot of potential relationships, I guess. So I'm in support of this generally. I just think maybe we could frame it so that it's not so specific like that.
Carrie, did you have a question for Brian,
So the question was, where the 100 miles comes from?
Is Brian,
that research or some other thing?
Brian, if you want to go ahead and answer that, and then we'll turn it over to Mary for her question or comment.
I think you're absolutely right. It came from peer institutions, and that's kind of like the general recommendation. Recognizing people that are within proximity and further distancing, and we thought that the 100 miles was was in line with what we wanted to kind of accomplish.
Thank you.
Mary, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Brian. I know we chatted a bit before.
Hi.
You know, everyone had to leave campus. And my question for you was, I think I forwarded you Harvard's policy. There was two pieces that I really liked in it, and I put it on the group chat. And one was that a longer paid absence may be appropriate in circumstances of logistical difficulty or severe emotional distress if approved by the supervisor. And then there at the bottom, they also included a definition of household. I like the surrogate piece that you've done, but I also sort of like including, I think this is sort of what Carrie was talking about, expanding the definition of people who could be in your household. So I just wondered if the committee had talked about.
Yeah, we did. And we also looked at expansions of what that would mean and what's actually doable and what would throw it out the window. Meaning that there's some people that were in favor of changes that were already talked about, some weren't. And exactly what kind of resolutions are what can be resolved and what would be doable. We tried to make it as palatable as we can for the majority. Unfortunately, it's not going to make it palatable for everybody. Some people want more, some people want less. It's kind of hard to balance that neutral ground. So what we did is we kind of balanced it, and that's how we came up with the resolution and as it is written now. Does that help explain?
Yeah, it helps. I think the resolution as written now is definitely an improvement. I'm one of the people who would like to see it pushed a little farther, but I understand that we have to be reasonable with what we put forward.
Yeah, I understand that this resolution, and I agree with Chris, it's put it on their table for them to review. They'll probably no doubt modify it or do what they can or what they can't or whatever. It just puts it on their table so they can review it and say, okay, there's a lot of people concerned about this and look at our peer institutions. I know when I sat down with Lauren Jacoby, she was very interested in some of the peer institutions stuff that we've examined. And I shared that data with her, not only for this policy, but future policies. And it's about not wanting the world, but seeing what's possible. And I know that we might very well, when they review it, end up with more than what it states. I that'll be up to them, just like all of our resolutions are up to them ultimately. But it's kind of support and saying that we think it should be looked at. That's what we're gearing at.
All right, let's go with Jamie and then Herf.
Thanks. I just wanted to clarify. I think there might be some confusion on the wording of a surrogate parent. And just to clarify, this was a term that came to us from the person that brought up the issue originally. And it really had to do more with someone who acts in the role of a parent. So I don't know if some people are hung up on like a narrow definition of what a surrogate parent is. But it's a broader term, I think, than some people might be interpreting it.
Thank you, Jamie.
Go ahead.
Two things. One is, I think that the Harvard thing has some good ideas, but it's unnecessarily trying to define something that's fairly loose. I mean, if you have a close family member that you feel like as a parent, there shouldn't be anyone else deciding whether or not you can go to their funeral or not. And, you know, on your own time. So I don't see the necessity to put in to try to define what a family member is. The second thing is, as to what Craig had to say, I think if you go down to the resolution, if you change the word before 5 days from maximum to minimum, that would clear it up.
Karen and then Robert. Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I echo what Herf just said. And also, you know, what Jamie said as well is, you know, the surrogate is a broader definition, whereas the Harvard policy sort of defines it in certain terms, and like anyone in the household, well, someone in your household may not necessarily be raising you, but you could have, you know, you could be spending more time at it outside of your house with another family or something like that. So I think that the idea of the term surrogate is a little bit broader, and that's why we landed on that. And then the 5 days is what came about from the research, that the background into other people's policies and stuff like that. But if we do change it to a minimum, then, you know, I think minimum leaves it at, again, at the discretion of your supervisor. So, and leaving it up to the institution to define that, what if they come back and ask us, well, what are other institutions saying? You know what I mean? We're trying to help define what the research showed us in the resolution by saying, you know, being specific about the number of days. So not trying to add more work to their review.
Robert?
So just to, for my own purposes and maybe for other people's purposes, so right now the policy is 1 day for non-relatives in terms of, with no restrictions in terms of how far away it is. So it's 1 day for, you know, for other relatives, and then 3 days for immediate family, where the immediate family is sort of defined by Cornell as this is what you get for immediate family. With this new policy, it would be 5 days time off for immediate family if it's beyond 100 miles. So then you'd have 3 days for if your immediate family was within 100 miles. And then it would be 3 days for other relatives. So bumping up the 1 day to 3 days for other relatives if it's beyond 100 miles. In terms of, as was said by Karen and by Brian, like all the stuff that was added was based off peer institutions. I think, you know, in terms of the language, that the looser it is, the better in terms of in defining what the employee terms their immediate family. And that, you know, I think, you know, as Brian was saying, we're asking the university to consider it. And I think going in with an initial offer in terms of this resolution being, we want 2 more days if it's beyond 100 miles and 2 days if for other relatives, if they're beyond 100 miles, I think we'll see what they come back with. But I mean, based on the peer institutions, that's what we were seeing, was 5 days in some instances, and there were mileage requirements. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Okay, so here, based on what I'm hearing, here are the options. There can be a motion to table and work on an amendment outside of the meeting and bring back something as amended. There is, you can make, you propose a floor amendment, and somebody will have to literally type that up right now. Or there can be a motion to end debate and call the question. So just trying to curate what the options are for folks. And I see nobody's hand raised or anything like that. I'm open to any motions. Okay, we've got Carrie. Go ahead, Carrie.
I was just gonna say, I could see an amendment. For one thing, maybe doing like a surrogate family member. I know Ellen and I were making notes in the chat. So you define surrogate family member, or you define at around line 18. No, not line 18. I'm not looking at the right thing. Sorry. Around line 13, that whereas establishes what the university considers to be immediate family. And so I'm wondering if we want, since your goal is to broaden it, I feel like defining surrogate as a parent and also a primary caregiver parent might work against the idea of broadening it. So I'm wondering, I guess my point was to say, I could see possibly amending that piece, and I would be happy to send suggestions maybe, but I guess I would love to see maybe a little more time on this, on the wording.
Okay, Karen has made a motion to end debate that requires, okay, and Ellen has seconded it. So a motion to end debate requires 2/3. Please put your yes or no's in the, thanks Chris, in there. Put your yes or no's in there. I'm very eloquent today. All right. Have all voted who wish. All right. It appears that by a vote of 21-4, debate has been ended on the motion, on the measure. Would somebody call the question?
I think Ellen moved to table.
Oh, did she?
In the comments. Sorry.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Okay. And so there's a motion to table. I'm sorry, Craig, did you say something?
Second.
And Craig seconds. Okay. Now the motion to table was first, Karen. So we're going to vote on that. Have all vote. So everybody is now voting on whether to table this resolution, and it will remain under business of the day until our next meeting. So you're now voting on whether to table the resolution. My vote. Just be sure you cleared out your, I didn't clear out everybody's vote before this went. So make sure that you, the vote that is on next to your name is what you actually want, not to pass this, but to table it. I probably should have paused a little bit and cleared everybody. Sorry about that. Okay. Appears on a vote of 18-9, the resolution is tabled. Okay, so Brian, your resolution will remain under business of the day. Other folks can work with you if you or your committee would like to bring amendments. Just get any amendments to Hey, so that we can get them on the agenda, and we'll work on it next meeting. Thank you for all your work and everybody's good debate on this.
Thank you.
And patience with trying to keep all this straight.
Adam, can you just explain what happened in terms of the procedure? Yes. I'm just confused.
Okay. There was a motion to end debate, which is a regular motion that anybody can make at any time. It requires a two-thirds vote. Okay. And that motion passed. After that, there are only motions that can be made on the bill or on the resolution itself, either to pass, call the question for passage, or to table. Ellen made the subsequent motion to table. Following that, there was a vote to table the bill, the resolution. I used to work in the legislature, sorry. To table the resolution to where it will remain under new business until the next meeting. During that intervening time, amendments to the resolution can come up, or it can just be brought back up for debate in its entirety as it is now. So that's where we're at. It's not dead. It's not passed. It's just remaining tabled until the next meeting. Anybody may work with the sponsor to offer a resolution. Technically, anybody can offer a resolution without working with the sponsor, but I would recommend that you work with the sponsor to on your resolution. On your amendment to the resolution. So, and there can be competing amendments. So if people don't come to a consensus, others can offer up their ideas and we will vote on the amendments in order. Does that answer your question? Does anybody else have any questions about a point of order or about procedure? All right.
Thank you.
Seeing none, just checking to make sure there are no hands raised. We will move on to resolution 8, which is my resolution recognizing, sorry, I just had it up on my screen and now it's not, recognizing Cornell Health. Bear with me, there we go, okay. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, hopefully everybody can see the resolution. I won't, let me make sure I'm not muted, am I? No, okay. I won't go into too much detail because it's very self-explanatory. I believe strongly that those amazing staff, medical professionals and administrators who work in Cornell Health deserve recognition during this very difficult time. I've had the good fortune of being able to work with Cornell Health thanks to some of the efforts that we have been looking at to recognize Dr. Greg Eales. And as a, just a side note, that effort is not going anywhere. We're just pausing until hopefully we can do something that is more of an in-person presentation to with regards to that effort. But anyway, since I've been working with Jennifer Austin at Cornell Health, I've had the good fortune of being able to work on language that is representative of some of the specific things that they've done during the pandemic, during the outbreak, the efforts that they've done to expand telehealth services, to keep in contact for mental health purposes with CAP staff, and to be really a rock of information and security in terms of a healthcare crisis that we're all seeing unfold before our eyes and change daily. This, obviously there are many units and many different groups on of Cornell staff that are doing amazing things. I struggled with wanting to recognize so many other groups, but I feel that that specificity in here really allows the opportunity to highlight some of the great work that this particular unit has done. And again, the language in it is self-explanatory, but I would be happy to entertain any questions. So if anybody has any questions, it's on the box. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen so that I can easily see all of you and the hands and everything like that. Yes, that is the impetus of the resolution. Thank you, Chris, for putting the link out there. Does anyone have any questions, comments, concerns, amendments, or anything for me on this? And if there are none, I will also entertain a motion. Anybody move to, I just have a thing. I don't like to move on my own measures, but I will call the question then. Is there a second? All right, Mary seconds. For all of those who wish, please vote yes or no in the chat box or in the participant box or whatever it's called. All right. Okay, looks like on a vote of 25 yes, none voting no, the resolution is passed. Thank you all so much. I do want to bring up one other quick thing about this. I am very, very interested in seeing the EA work on a resolution to support in honor and recognition of Weill Cornell Medical. I struggled whether to fold this into this, but I've had specific outreach and communication with Cornell Health. I think that Weill Cornell, we should talk with their communications folks about some of those challenges, numbers, and things that they've done. If there is somebody who would like to work on that, please contact me offline. I think that I would like to see if we can make this a more of a combined effort, share the outreach on it and everything like that. But it's just another thing I wanted to mention. They've been on the front lines and doing incredible work and deserve to be recognized as well. So please reach out to me offline and we'll organize something hopefully before next meeting and get it passed. So thank you all. So next on the agenda, let's go into the COVID-19 latest forum discussion. You want to lead us off on this with regards to entering into a little bit of feedback on the...
Sure. So thank you to everybody who was able to participate. We had about 3,000 participants, so our most heavily attended COVID forum yet. And also we had a little over 130 questions from this forum. So we tried to touch as many topics as possible, and we got a lot of feedback from EA members and participants who had submitted questions beforehand. So tried to choose the best questions that reflected, what the sentiments of the staff were. Now that the forums are over, I've gotten a lot of really good feedback. And we've also, the executive committee will be working on compiling all of the questions. So we're looking at about 438 questions from all of the COVID forums, and then tagging them, data tagging them, and then categorizing them. A lot of the comments are, general things, but some of them, reach into issues of health, issues of staff employment, questions about student related matters. So we're going to group all of this and share this with senior leadership in hopes that with no, mandate or any, formal request, letting them know what the questions are and then retrieving any sort of follow-up information they want to provide so we can update our FAQs as possible. So I think we're going to do some work on, generating more information and posting that on the COVID website that the EA has available for FAQs. And then, keeping everybody posted as we hear more. Right now, most of our forums come after we have any sort of large announcement from leadership. So I would expect similar to that, the same thing. But for now, we're just compiling data and organizing it and trying to get, the most out of, senior leadership and what we have been able to acquire based on the feedback and the questions. So I have been hearing positive feedback. I wanted to get everybody's sense of how things have gone. If you have any comments, if you have any notes, any ways to improve the forums, I'd be happy to hear them. But again, I appreciate you all for, sharing the information and joining. It's all been very helpful.
Questions for Hey Hey, comments, feedback on the forums?
Jessica, did you raise your hand?
I did. So nothing very pressing, but I did get positive feedback from library staff. And apparently Joanne, is it DeStefano?
DeStefano?
Mm-hmm. Yep, she has some fans in the library. So just wanted to share that with you.
Anyone else? Brandon?
Just want to acknowledge and say a thank you to everyone involved in those. I know they are technologically challenging and difficult to manage, not only the IT aspect of it, but then people figuring it out and knowing how to work the system. And even, I think clearly you all did a great job when Joel went offline. Nobody panicked and freaked out. Everybody kind of just worked through it. So clearly your organization worked really well to folks to understand, here's how we make it through this. So congratulations on working through that and having faced the technological challenges in several instances. Y'all did a great job.
Thanks, Brandon. We've got a great team backing us up. Thank you, Gina, Wendy. Carrie.
I'll just piggyback on that, say I agree you guys did a great job with it. My one comment was that I've noticed the other constituent groups are starting to do more focused forums. So like, I think the GPSA has a couple scheduled. I know the faculty members had one on Monday focused on specifically the committees that have been established to work on the reopening and everything. I'm just wondering whether an idea for a future thing might be a focused session on the administrative review so that people have a way to give feedback. That's the group of people that are looking at the cost cutting measures and working up scenarios for different levels of budget cuts. And I don't know, it just might be something we want to do as a way of focusing the subject matter.
Do you mind, Mary has brought up to me that that she is okay with looking at different ways to do more focused forums, maybe smaller groups. So that idea, and anyone else who has ideas for more focused ones, or just any ideas for themed ones in the future, can you send them to me at any time? I will bring those up personally with Mary and see what sticks. Again, we're always at the mercy of their willingness to participate, but I will say I'm always encouraged by how willing university leadership is to participate. So I'll bring it up. Anyone else? And if not, we can, Herb, yep, go ahead.
I wanted to ask, we got a lot of information about different committees that were doing things, but what's the participation of staff in those committees?
It's a good question, and I've gotten it from several people. In terms of the EA and appointing people, I don't have a full list of all the committees in front of me or what their makeup is. In terms of the EA appointing people, there has not been a request for us to do so. It's my fault. I wish I'd thought about this sooner, but I do plan on bringing this up also to Mary and other university leaders to see if we can have the UA participate in appointing people to these in the now or in the future. I don't know if we've missed the boat on that, if I've missed the boat on that, and I apologize. But I do want to make that inquiry. I think it merits a request. So.
Okay, thanks. That just seemed like, not that we were underrepresented, but I wasn't sure, other than our input during these talks, that we had much to do with the planning and so forth.
I mean, our charter lays out that we are, and I don't have the language in front of me, but that we are the body that appoints upon request to us to other university committees seeking staff representation. So I think it for staff to be represented, we would be the natural place. But we'll see what we'll see what folks say.
Thank you.
Rigel and then Chris.
So a couple of members of EHS are actually participating in those committees. Josh Terse, who is the biosafety officer, is working on the research operations restart committee and has actually involved myself and a member of the lab safety group to kind of brainstorm on how to work through that process. So a few of us are working on that. I can't speak for the other committees, though.
And I don't know, the work of the committees and how they'd feel like about this, but would it be possible for us to get some sort of feedback or report about how things are progressing, or would they not? Any communication that we can tether would be nice, but I don't know.
Yeah, so I know that they are meeting on the 15th or sometime soon to kind of meet and actually work through this, but I don't know more than that.
Okay, thank you. Chris and then Craig. Go ahead, Chris.
I was trying to point out, Jackie put an awesome link in the chat. Thank you, Jackie. I had not seen that yet. As a way to give feedback to three of the committees. I also linked the press release to when President Pollack established the other committees, because there's a bunch of them. But I really encourage everybody to use their knowledge. An example of something that I learned through the assemblies and sustainability things is that Cornell houses office furniture in warehouses. And so we spend money as a university to keep stuff in a spot. And hearing that one, that costs money, and now some other information is CIT has been given the heads up that IT is going to be looked at as a mobile workforce. So where people previously had dedicated office desks and spaces, those kinds of things might become more general, sort of like squatter spaces. I can't think of something better than squatter, but you kind of come on campus for your meetings and then you go back to wherever it is. But we've been throwing out all sorts of ideas to our leadership about satellite offices where, you know, I live in Trumansburg or Binghamton and I don't have a great internet connection, but I don't need to go all the way to campus. So that kind of information, I think, is all of us probably know a little hidey hole of something that is really good or useful. And for me, sharing that directly has all been just entirely welcome. So I would encourage anybody, either through their management or through the feedback portal, let them know what you know, because that's really.
Yes, thank you, Chris. That is important. If it's all right with everybody, let's put a pin in this with regards to the COVID forum discussions. I will make a request to Mary and whoever else I can get a hold of to see about if we can get some more representation or information about the committees. But I'd like to move on to committee reports so we can get to open discussion, because I want to go over a few things with all of you as we approach the end of the month. So really briefly, if we could do committee reports. Hey, do you want to go ahead with executive?
Hi there. So as I mentioned, we are working through parsing through the data, coding it, and getting it ready for distribution to senior leadership. I'm still working on transition documents. I know we've extended our terms. So I'm still working through that. So there's still some things, on the back burner that are being worked on as this term continues. Yeah. So that is my very quick update, working through things.
Oh, and just by the way, Craig messaged me that he was fine. He didn't need to comment. I didn't just skip him arbitrarily. okay, Carrie, communications and awards.
Most recently we were focused on getting the newsletter out that went out like a week and a half ago. Got really good engagement, I would say. Almost a 50% open rate, unique open rate. I think it's like 47, 48, something like that. Percent of the people who got that message opened it up at least. And we got some good engagement in the newsletter as a jumping off point to the forum. There was a lot of interest in that. Also, probably next most interest was the updated FAQ related to transportation. So a bunch of people were interested in that. So otherwise, we collaborated with Christie's committee, welfare, on the Essential Cornell campaign, and have been sort of making posts about that on Facebook and collecting people's selfies. We saw a little over a 10% rise in followers. So on Facebook, so we have made some gains there, and it seems like more people are finding our content to be in the right zone for them. So I think we're doing okay, just plugging away at stuff, and happy to support anybody else's committee work or whatever we can do. But otherwise, I guess that's all. That's all to report. I plan on doing another mailing in May, and that'll sort of report on whatever outcomes from our couple of meetings, and we'll see where that goes. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Any questions for Carrie? And seeing none, let's move on to Marcy, Employee Education and Development.
Hi. So we haven't met since our last meeting. I've been thinking about writing looking at writing a resolution just to acknowledge education, make sure it stays important, that things aren't cut or, you know, gotten rid of or anything. So there's nothing really new. If anyone has any thoughts or concerns or anything they'd like to see the education committee do, I'm open for anything, but that's about it.
Questions for Marcy? And seeing none, let's move on to welfare.
Hello. I don't know if this is an update from before or a repeat, so sorry, I'm losing all track of time. But thanks with the partnership to Carrie, we did have a really successful initiative around acknowledging and recognizing essential staff. So it was not only the selfies that were posted online, Facebook, et cetera, but we did a campaign with the recognition portal and thanked hundreds of essential Cornell staff via the recognition portal. We have a meeting tomorrow, and I think that will be the last for the semester. Everyone's welcome to join. They've been really, really positive discussions, and I've been very thankful for the engagement, both with Cornell work life and transportation. Strong partnerships that we've developed.
Any questions?
Adam, not a question, but just a recognition on the work with the transportation piece. I know I was a strong advocate in the discussion about the permits and the turn-in process. I think that was awesome that we were able to get them to send out that messaging that those that turn in their permits won't be penalized and not able to get their permits. And I think this is just one of those examples where I'm proud to be a part of this organization, because it wouldn't have happened without us. It wasn't going to get there, and we pushed and they heard us. And so I know that a lot of people appreciate that. So thank you to Christine for making that partnership happen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah, I just want to offer that what Brandon's just talking about is a really good example of what we've been able to achieve in the committee. There's really strong advocacy represented, and the partnerships with the central functions are just really incredible. They're very respectful of what the feedback we're offering them, and repeatedly come back to the table with advancements and developments based on our input. So it's been really wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And thank you for the work of the committee. It has been wonderful. Let's move on to employee benefits. Brian?
Well, hi. Yeah, we had a meeting on the 28th, and our guest speaker was Gordon Barger, Director of Benefits, and he answered a lot of the committee's questions. There was a ton of them. It was very nice having him there and answering a lot of questions. He was very, very sound on some of them and helped us with a lot of things. So it was good to have him there. We talked a little bit about the bereavement policy and presenting it, and it was presented. And we've been getting a lot of comments and different things on that. Some people think that we haven't gone far enough. Some people think we're going too far. So it's kind of like some of it is a wash, so it's really tough to figure out what would be advantageous to move forward with. We also talked about other things that constituents brought up and brought forth, and then any new issues. There was some discussion about maybe reaching out for the gig stuff and on Workday to maybe have her, Amy Parmley, come to a future meeting and kind of explain what's happening with that group, especially with what's happening with the reductions and, you know, with the hiring freeze and everything, and how gigs play a part in that, and if that's still going to be accessible and things like that. Other than that, it was a good, productive meeting. We packed it in and everybody was happy with it, and everything went well.
Excellent. Questions for Brian? Okay, seeing none, let's move on to elections. Jessica. Can you hear me, Jessica?
Yeah, I clicked the wrong button, sorry.
No worries.
So very quickly,
Specifically, nothing really from the elections committee itself, since elections are on hold. The membership task force that you all approved at our last meeting is mostly formed. It's Jamie, Brian is our at-large member, Andrea, Ashley, myself, and Meredith Collins from the library is one of our two staff members that we needed. We are still looking for one more, so honestly, seriously, if you've got a recommendation, let me know. And of course, anyone else is welcome to join us. We just had almost met our minimum, so we got started. And we're starting with the question of the most appropriate total size of the employee assembly.
Great. Questions? Okay. All right, seeing none, let's move on to open discussion. My agenda's cut off. Hey, there wasn't anything under new business, was there? No.
Okay. No, I think we wanted to talk a little about our continued work.
Yes. Okay. So in the time we have left today, and I'm really glad that we have time to discuss this, because it will take it'll take a little bit of time for us to think about this. But I want to put the question to all you about planning, not just as we wrap up what would be our normal term at the end of May, but into the summer. And the reason I ask that is that since the forums and the amazing communications that have gone out, our newsletters are since really the beginning of this situation, the EA has positioned itself as a really a strong leadership body for the entire campus community in terms of providing information, in terms of providing a little bit of sense of stability and connecting and building a bridge between leadership and staff. And I would even go further and say some of the other communities on campus. So what I want to put out there is the idea of us scheduling some more potential meetings in the summer. As our terms are all extended, there is some normal planning that has to be done. Normally it would be the new members and executive committee that would come in and plan things like the president's address to staff. There would be plans for a summer retreat, planning the year, all of that. So we have regular things that will be modified that in our own organization that we need to think about planning on. The second thing, though, is that this situation with the public health crisis, modified operations, reopening of campus, and even the awful idea that there could be second waves of this disease hitting our community and others, it's far from over. So I'm really encouraged by the fact that we have been able to build a bridge of communication between university leadership and staff. And I would like to work in some manner to keep that going. There are things that need to be discussed that really transcend all of the committees and ways that we can help our fellow staff members beyond even what we've been doing. Now, that being said, I want you all to know that this is not a call to pressure anyone to feel like they have to go beyond what you essentially signed up for. We had a term, and we had, even though our terms are extended, we had a meeting schedule. That could, if we're going to change that, I want you all to know that you are staff first, as I have said from the beginning of this term. And I support the fact that you all have not only your jobs and your lives, but you're dealing with a stressful situation yourselves. So this is not going to be a pressure campaign for all of you to add a bunch of stuff to your plate over the summer or do more than what you signed up for. It's a voluntary call, but we could do it in one of several ways. We could add more meetings to our schedule, have some summer meetings, have some summer discussions, ask the committees if they would be willing to meet on some specific ideas and topics and efforts that would help staff throughout this crisis. Or we could go the route of forming some sort of an ad hoc committee populated by EA members on a volunteer basis, those who want to work on continuing working on forums, working on communication, supporting our staff in a variety of ways. I'm putting out a call for your opinions, your thoughts. And again, this is not an effort to make you feel like you all have done amazing, amazing work this year. I am so proud to be working alongside all of you, and I have been since the beginning. So that needs to be said first and foremost. So with that, I see that there are like 8 comments. So I'm going to maybe do a little reading here. If people want to speak, go ahead and raise your hand and let's see how the discussion unfolds. So Brian, you go ahead first.
I don't know if that requires a vote or not, but I'm totally in favor of continuing meeting. I think it's also given a more consistency for everybody on campus, especially seeing that the forums have been, what was it? 3,000 people showed up at the last one. That's just amazing. I know that I saw a few of my staff that participated and showed up at that too. And I really appreciate that time. But I also think they look at us for leadership, and they look at us to try to keep that normalcy as much as possible. And in this time of this COVID stuff, having something that's consistent, I think would be valuable. And I think it'd be good. I don't know if it requires a vote. If it does, I would definitely vote yes.
So there are a couple of ways I see this logistically possibly working out. Okay, we can add meetings to our regular schedule, regular meetings, and then again we would work with all the committee chairs. Probably the executive committee and the committee chairs would meet in a separate meeting to discuss the work of the committees over the course of the summer. If we add to our schedule, that requires a vote because we vote on a regular schedule at the beginning of the term. So we'll need to propose another schedule, have to work with the Office of the Assemblies to provide, if they can provide some logistical support, set up the meetings, and that's a regular schedule. Again, we're going to have to build in, in my opinion, some sort of flexibility. We don't yet know when all of us or some of us or most of us will be back on campus. We don't yet know how operations in general are going to occur. So we have a 2-week period here where we can discuss some ideas. If we need, this is why it's a good idea to bring this up now instead of our very last meeting. So we don't have to decide everything right now, but if we add actual scheduled regular meetings, which means that the body is doing work, which I think is preferable, because we should be on the record, we should have campus participation, they should be open and publicized, then I think we need to actually schedule them and have that approved in a resolution and maybe some language that says flexibility for the executive committee to call meetings or whatever if they're needed and if a quorum can be established or something like that. And I can work with the Office of the Assemblies, by the way, we just talked about this in exec today, so I need to talk with Wendy and Gina and everybody. And I think that we can make it work. Thankfully, the logistics pretty much extend right now to Zoom meetings. So, but I'm not going to speak for them in terms of what they can or can't do. Herf, go ahead. Herf, did you have your hand up?
There you go. Yeah. I really think it's important for the EA to be present over the summer, because for us to go dark while all this stuff is happening, I don't think it's a great idea. I think it's really good for the EA to be an active participant as all these things unfold. I don't know about the other assemblies. Does the university assembly or the faculty assembly take a summer break? But in any case, whatever they do, I do think it's important that the EA have some presence.
Great. And, Chris, go ahead.
So to answer the question about the UA, because the graduate students and the students are a part of the assembly, you know, some of those people are graduating and leaving the university. So as far as I understand, we are still on track. And unless Gina knows something extra, that we're going to conclude our normal session, but the chairs are staying in their spots until the fall in line with the EA. And I would also agree that with everybody that we're a special group of people, you know, we're leaders in our area. We have the ability to push information up and down to everybody, and the consistency, even the normal transition of the EA from year to year is difficult. And we probably have four different transitions in front of us. So let's keep the band together.
Gina, I see you. I just want to mention one thing that I think that actually is why us being able to be active and visible is even more important, because students are very much, at least several of them are in flux right now. So we can provide even some continuity for other communities, which is a good thing. Gina, go ahead.
I was just going to speak to the question about the university assembly. As Chris noted, the term of the assembly ends, as they all do, on May 31st, but the UA has a provision in its charter that the executive committee remains intact over the summer in case there's any activity that needs to take place, and that way there's an identified body that can work with the administration.
So, and on another topic, I mean, this is something that I just brought up to the executive committee today. There are logistics, obviously, regarding the language of what constitutes our term, whether we're working in meetings into a new term, whether, you know, how we write a resolution if need be, you know, if we're back on campus, do we need to schedule things? There are serious logistics here. I don't have all the answers to those things. I will work with Gina and Wendy at the earliest convenience, as soon as we go forward, probably. I'm more thinking in terms of the framework of the idea, essentially. It seems like most people are willing and happy and have the desire to participate and be active. Again, contoured around this specific crisis, but over the summer as things evolve. But if anybody has any concerns, and if you don't feel like you want to voice them here, let me know, because I'm not intending on putting things on people's plate whenever we were all scheduling things and felt like there was a term ending, and summer is usually a relatively light time for the EA, regardless of whose term it is. No one should feel compelled to any regard with regards to this effort. Ideas regarding it, we don't have to come up with all of them right now, but if we're going to move forward, I think we should all, for instance, the reopening committees, whatever they're actually called, you know, trying to get some more participation with those. Other ideas regarding how we can help, I think the next 2 weeks is a very good brainstorming time for that. The CARE Fund or anything. I think that whatever we do over the summer, it should be contoured around this specific crisis and logistics and things like that. So please think of ideas about, you know, the forums. Great idea. Gina was the impetus of that. And I think that if there is more that we can do, we have a great opportunity to help. So we can figure out the logistics, the executive committee, the chairs, all of you, and the OA. We can work on that over the next 2 weeks, but ideas on how to help are really, in my opinion, the next big thing that we need to look at. Anyone else? Comments, questions, ideas? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Marcy nodded her head. That's a motion.
I'll second.
Burke waved. That's a second. All right. All those in favor of adjournment, say yes, just so we have a record.
Aye.
And majority. Okay. Great meeting, everybody. Thank you all so much. Contact me anytime after this if you need anything. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I will see you soon. Take care.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.